97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, let the big dog hunt. Joe Stasiak in the house with you folks. Here till noon. Good morning, everybody. Connor Thomas, my producer today. Connor, are we cool with this mic? I'm losing a little sound in my ear. Maybe that's just my headphones. We all right? We good? Zero distortion? All right. Let's get this party started. Hello again, everybody. I was here last night. I am back this morning. A double shot of Joe Stasiak. Again, if you haven't heard, my new permanent slots are Saturday night, 7 to 10, and, of course, Sunday mornings, 9 to 12. This is my favorite shift of the week. I love getting up and kicking things off with everybody. Getting here early. There's no traffic on the road. Get the prep in peace. Wake up real early. Sun's just coming up. Get to do my thing again. So that would be, let's see, if you're keeping score at home, that's like two shifts, 6 hours in 5, 12, and 17. So 6 hours of radio in 17 hours. That's my weekend. And once again, very excited to be here with you on this Memorial Day weekend. Hope you're having fun. What's everyone doing this weekend? One of the things I want to throw out there, because normally M-Day, Memorial Day weekend, is usually something I circle on my calendar, or it used to be, at least. I was a big Shore guy. Every summer, we kick things off Thursday nights, a Memorial Day weekend at Jack's Place in Avalon, and then do our thing. I lived down there about 20 summers, worked down there for about 10 at the Princeton, and I don't know what's going on down there now. Now I go to Cape May. Since I met my wife, we go to Cape May. I love Cape May, too. They actually have beach bars, which is a novel thought. You know, I grew up in Avalon, basically, and no beach bars. In fact, very limited selection of bars. That's why everywhere's crowded. But I love Cape May as well. I used to go there for, like, nice dinners and whatnot when I was in Avalon. Take my girlfriend there to the Victorian old, some of the restaurants, Washington Inn and Peter Shields and places like that. That's my wife's place. We like to go there. Got married there, actually, two summers ago. So it's here already. I mean, it seems like we just began this pandemic. I remember watching episode after episode after episode of Ozark. I guess that was mid-March when we were right in the throes of everything. Things have loosened up a little bit. I'm still going a little stir crazy. Guilt-free, though. Like, I can sit there and watch 12 hours of television. Maybe go downstairs, work out for an hour or two, come back, watch more television, and there's no guilt. I don't feel like, well, I should be doing something else. Yeah, there's things around the house I should probably be doing. But there are days where I go outside, I'll help plant whatever, azalea bushes and flowers, and then we water them every day. And the place is in decent shape. Still some things I should be doing every day, which I promised I would. I got to get back onto that. But other than that, not a lot to do. So I'm getting ready to get out there and do some different things, as is. Hold on, I'm checking the text. Okay. Trying to get Johnny Clark on at 10:10. He just texted me. He's unable to. He's not feeling well, a little under the weather. I wanted to catch up with him because he certainly has his ear to the ground on all things sports, always does. He's everywhere. He's the best in the business. He works for NBC Sports Philly, formerly of Comcast and Sportsnet and whatnot. Not feeling well today. Usually has, you know, a first look and is on the Eagles beat. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Eagles today. I want to kind of compare and contrast where their roster is now to where it was a few months ago, and see where they are, at least where I think they are. I want to get it back to football. I know we've been doing the best we can, trying to put shows together, trying to keep them entertaining and lively and in vogue and current. It's not that easy. You know, we've been doing it now 2 months. It's kind of become not as daunting as it was. We figured it out. still not quite the same when we're not talking about games that are happening. Of course, Rob Manfred, I did this last night. This is kind of a continuation of last night's show. So basically, I have 6 hours in 17 hours, and I break it up into two parts. We do last night's show. We do this morning's show. Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball, was on the Anderson Cooper show last week, and he was talking about, and this, I'm surprised it didn't get more play. I don't know why it didn't get more play, but Rob Manfred, and I'll play that soundbite in about a few seconds. My man Connor Thomas is going to cue that up. Because, and he was with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, a leading expert in the coronavirus and pandemics and whatnot, but they're trying to expedite the process and get baseball back for you. It's really not for you. It's about them, because they stand to lose $4 billion if they don't get off the ground this year. They're looking to, the proposal is to play half a season, 82 games. The players, their salaries get cut in half. There's a 67-page proposal in terms of protocol and what the new the improvised rules will be in terms of health and safety, and there's a million of them. The players have to sign off on it. They've already got some resistance, but I think as a whole, most of the players in the union think that, you know, hey, if it's good for the game, most of them in all of the sports, at the end of, you know, they'll find people, and I'll see these stories where they'll pull like John Carlson from the Capitals, and he'll talk about the new proposed 24-team playoff system in the NHL that was approved by the NHLPA yesterday, 2 days ago. He's not on board with it necessarily. Thinks there's too many teams. He understands it, though, why it's that way. But at the end of his interview, he'll say whatever best for the league. And most of the players think that way. Not all. But, I think you're going to find that most of them are going to deal with the risks, play a half a season, as long as they can get half their money, because now there's talk, and they have to get past this too. They have not come to an agreement on this, but the owners want to take away half their, cut their salary in half again for revenue sharing. If I was a player at this point and cutting it in half again, I'd say, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm going to sit this one out. I'll see you next March. You know, screw that. That's on you. I'm taking the risks here. The owners aren't taking the risks. The players are taking the risks. And this is the problem I had with Rob Manfred last week. And Connor, do you have that cue, brother? This was Rob Manfred on the Anderson Cooper show last Thursday. Dr. Sanjay Gupta asks him a question. Listen to the answer.
And then if someone does test positive for the virus during the season, then how do you handle that? Does everyone that the person's been in contact with then have to go into quarantine for 14 days?
Our experts are advising us that we don't need a 14-day quarantine. What we will do is the positive individual will be removed from the rest of the group. There will be a quarantine arrangement in each facility and in each city. And then we'll do contact tracing for the individuals that we believe there was contact with, and we will do point of care testing for those individuals to minimize the likelihood that there's been a spread.
I know he's in direct communication with President Trump, but did President Trump put him up to this? We're not nearly through this pandemic. We're just either peaking or on the other side of peaking, and they're talking about playing baseball in a couple weeks. With everything that's going on, there's 1.6 million cases in the United States and almost 400,000 deaths to date. That's the death toll. The United States, it's approaching 100,000. So since last night's show and today's show, we've probably lost about 500 to 700 Americans to the coronavirus. And we're talking about baseball coming back, football's coming back. At least they have a little bit of time. The NBA and hockey are looking to come back maybe late July. But baseball, I can't stand greedy people that really are looking out for only the bottom line here. And I've said it before, it's a sad day when Joe Stajak becomes the voice of reason in this town and errs on the side of caution. That's not me. That's not like me at all. But this is ridiculous. This is real. This corona thing, it's real. Why do you think we've been inside for 2 months? If it wasn't about the bottom line, they should just erase the NBA, NHL, and MLB seasons coming up and past. Football has a chance. But then I read Troy Vincent, who is like one of Roger Goodell's, the commissioner of the NFL, his henchman, who I don't like a little bit. He was an Eagle, former Eagle. He's everybody's darling. I never liked the dude. I worked with him when I was at Fox a little bit. He did a little segment with us. I respect. He's very intelligent. He was very prepared for his opponent, unlike Deuce. Deuce would come in and kind of get us. I would cut video of the stars of the opposing team on offense and defense. Troy would come in and talk about the opponent that week, their offensive stars, and I'd roll in video, and I did a thing with Bill Vargas when I was at Fox, and then Deuce would come in and talk about the defensive stars they're about to face. Deuce knew no one. He had no idea who was on the other side of the football. Troy knew everybody. Troy knew what kind of bubble gum they chewed, what color their shoelaces were. But they were both jerks about the money they were making off of it, and they were jerks, both of them. So, not a big Troy fan. Now he came out, I'd have to pull up the article, but basically saying that, yeah, the NFL is going to be playing in front of full stadiums this fall. That's like the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time, and it's coming from Troy Vincent. Again, one of Roger Goodell's right-hand men. I don't even know what his title is. I thought he was head of like the disciplinary division. He's the one who doles out suspensions and whatnot and fines. Let me see if I can find Troy Vincent. But, you know, you have him talking about playing in front of full stadiums. What? Is he serious? In the fall? Which fall? What year are we talking about, Troy? Come on, be a little responsible, man. That's ridiculous. Ain't going to be happening. Think about that. You're telling me in September, which is, what, 3 months off, all of the sudden, from where we are right now, right here, right now, we're going to be heading to football games. They're going to be packed with potential carriers of this coronavirus. Did a vaccine come out I'm not aware about? Did we implement new testing and abundance of, you know, the tests that we are waiting for to come in bulk so we can, I know the leagues, they're the first ones to get tested, which isn't necessarily fair to the layperson, but again, I must have missed something because I'm hearing full stadiums from Troy Vincent. They'll be lucky to kick off the season on time. They have 256 regular season games to get in. I'd like to see all of them get in. My biggest care, besides the NHL playoffs, and I've kind of come to accept that, all right, I haven't seen it till date. It's already Memorial Day weekend. We'd be in the conference finals right now. I've gotten through it. It's my favorite time of year, of course, with the NBA playoffs as well. Last year was sensational, except for the quadruple doink. But don't take away my football. That's something I almost can't do without. I'm sure we'd get through it. It would be difficult. One of the things that gets me through the transition of saying goodbye to summer is the NFL. And I think its start is tenuous at best at this point. I guess if MLB gets off without a hitch and then the NBA and NHL follow and do the same and there's no further problems, I guess the NFL should go smoothly. But I think because of what Rob Manfred just said and the way they're treating or are going to treat the situation with the virus, It's standard policy in this country to quarantine for 14 days if you contract the virus, and people who you have been in contact with to also be quarantined for 14 days. He's saying, nah, our experts, what experts, who are you talking to? Again, the Trump administration? You know, because I'm also hearing from some expert, like the Worldwide Socialist website came out yesterday, and this university in the UK that deals with the coronavirus and pandemics is basically predicting doubling and tripling of this death toll by the end of the summer because of big business and the Trump administration trying to, you know, putting everything on the governors and trying to get it back and the country up and running as soon as possible. I get all that. I get that the economy stinks. Everything's in the toilet. I can't go out and have a nice meal. I can barely go out to Wawa if I forget my mask. I've gotten barred from Wawa for forgetting my mask. Can't get gas. I have to go home. Just, you know, that's my fault. I get it. But this thing is in its embryonic stage, if you ask me. I've seen nothing, no imperial data that has come back to tell me that this thing is on its downside and we've got a handle of it on it. There are some states that it has gone down significantly, and it looks like, you know, they're ready to open again. Georgia's mishandling the numbers, basically is now being accused of fudging the numbers in order to get open quicker. Some NBA facilities have opened, Cleveland, Portland, you know, under certainly some really refined restrictions, but they're open now to their players, which I think is unfair. I think they should all open at the same time. I don't think you should be allowed to practice at your facility in Portland if Philadelphia is not allowed to practice in their facility. I don't, but it is what it is. The NFL was supposed to be the same way. It looks like Roger Goodell now is kind of hedging on that. And maybe, hey, whenever, first come, first serve, we shall see. But I think you're throwing caution to the wind for Major League Baseball. And I want to know how, I'm kind of outraged by it. And again, I'd love to see baseball. I'd love to see these sports leagues come back. I'm dying to watch something other than Netflix or Prime or Amazon or HBO constantly. Listen, it was fun for a while. I get it. I mean, yesterday, my wife didn't have to work. I didn't have to work till last night. Neither of us, it was a day off from working out. We basically sat around and I prepped and watched shows almost all day. It's enough. I'm done with it. A little bit of it was fun. It's kind of a, you know, you're indulging. It's like you're sick from school and nothing you can do about it. You're sick, so you're just watching guilt-free TV all day. I'm done with it. I'm ready to move on. But we're not ready to move on. And I think either the death toll is going to continue to rise, or we're going to get a second wave of this, in my opinion, if we come back too quickly. That's why I'm outraged. Because instead of doing this right and doing it once and handling it properly, and maybe having to suck it up for another few months. I mean, it just started. We're 2 months in. People are already, like I had it. But I'm willing to, you know, forego the next few months, unfortunately, because it's the summer, my favorite time of year outside of Christmas. But if we don't, we're going to be doing this thing through next year. We're going to be rolling around into baseball next year, and we'll still be doing this if we have a blowback, if we have a second wave of this, which is likely to happen if we come back too soon. You know, and I hate greedy owners, greedy people in general, but these owners are so greedy, they're willing to put their players at significant risk in terms of coming back. That's why they're carrying now 50 players instead of 25, you know, on the roster per night. So if there are clumps of players that have to be sidelined, either put in isolation or quarantined, they'll still have people ready to go. What? I don't know what to tell you. I think it's completely irresponsible. Completely irresponsible. This isn't the flu, which was also deadly back in the day when we were ill-equipped to handle it. Now we're pretty down with the flu. I get my flu shot every year. I've had the flu. It felt like I was going to die back in 1999. It was like the worst thing I've ever had. I hear the coronavirus is 10 times worse when you get it full blown. There are people who have had it and have not been symptomatic. And I know people who have had it. One guy, a friend of my wife, still in a coma. It's been like 6 weeks. In that time, his dad has died from it. So he's going to wake up 6 weeks later and be like, where have I been? How long have I been sleeping for? And what happened to my dad? So there's a gamut there that some people it hasn't affected. Some people it has affected greatly. And I just think that we are in for a world of pain if this thing doesn't work out with baseball. Hey, look, Patrick Ewing has it. Where'd Patrick get it from? It's all over the place. You never know where it's coming from. That's why we were supposed to be in lockdown for more than 2 months. It's all being driven by the bottom line. And I get it. The economy's in the tank. Believe me, I get it. I've looked at my portfolio. Not good, although it's bounced back a little bit. I just think it's incredibly irresponsible of what's going on. I don't want to get this into a political show and about the Trump administration. And I voted for Trump. I'm a Republican, but I think he's a knucklehead. I think I cringe when he opens his mouth. But I don't like politicians either. That's why I voted for him and will probably vote for him again. I don't like politicians. I think they're dirty. I think they're corrupt. I think they're out for themselves. So anyway, it's the lesser of two evils, I guess. But anyway, it doesn't matter who I'm going to vote for. And I also want to talk a little bit about, I know we got to take a break soon. Mike Tyson, I know most of you have heard this. Mike Tyson's my age. He's making a comeback. He wants to fight again. He's 53 years old. I have officially retired from my beer leagues. I really can't play hockey anymore because of my injuries at this age. And it's unfortunate because I feel pretty good mentally and I think I'm in decent shape. But I'm banged up. It's been a long time. A lot of games. A lot of miles on these legs. He wants to fight again? Evander Holyfield's talking about a comeback? Like, are you kidding me? I'll watch it. I heard Mike's in unbelievable shape. I was always a Mike fan. But I mean, he's never going to win the heavyweight championship with Tyson Fury at the helm. Tyson Fury's 6'9 with a reach of 85 inches. Mike Tyson's 5'9 with a 71-inch reach. And he hasn't boxed professionally in, I think, 2006 was his last year. What year is it? That's like 14 years ago. Youngest heavyweight champion ever at 20 years old. Won his first 19 fights by knockout. He was a monster, a machine. He's 53 years old. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. It's going to be a spectacle. But I'll watch, especially now. He's picking the right time because not much else is going on. My question to you for today is, who do you think or would like to see come out of retirement that you think has a pretty decent shot at having some semblance of success? I mean, I wouldn't get in the ring with Mike. I don't know how he'd fare right now against some of the younger guys. But I would bet if you throw him some patsies, he'll log some wins. I think with the shape he's in, he'll probably be able to win some fights. Who else do you think could come out of retirement, minimum 10 years in retirement, and have some success? 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak. I'm here till noon. Stick around, folks.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
The Lowrider bringing you back from break. 929 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stasek. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Dietz and Watson Premium Meats and Artisan Cheeses. Sounds good. I'm on a diet, Weight Watchers. It works, but I'm hungry as hell 24/7. No Jersey Shore for me this Memorial Day weekend. Hope to get down there at some point this season. We were down there last Memorial Day. If you're down there, what's going on? Like, what's open? What are you doing at night? I know you can do the beach thing. You can even wear masks on the beach, and the beaches are probably open, but how's the economy down there? I mean, I guess if you're renting houses, especially in Avalon, you know, it's like $10,000 a week for a house near the beach. They're doing okay. But how's the local economy doing? The homeowners are doing fine. How's the local economy doing? What are you doing tonight? What's going on? I'm curious. I mean, my brethren at the Princeton place I used to work, I love stopping in there, seeing my old bosses and people I used to work with and hang with and the locals. And what's going on? What's everyone doing tonight? Is everything shut down still? I miss it. I got to tell you, I miss it. If anyone is at the shore, please call in. Let me know. Give me an update about what's going on. What's it like down the shore? I know my man Connor Thomas behind the glass is lamenting the fact. Well, anyone will lament the fact that they're with me on a Sunday morning. But, Connor, you're a big Shore guy. You're not there right now. Tell me about your history with the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so I grew up in Mount Holly, Mount Laurel area. So LBI was about 40 minutes for me. I loved going down the shore.
Is that it, 40 minutes?
Yeah, right around the corner. I mean, that's a short drive
to
the shore.
That's a short jaunt.
Yeah, so that's where we'd go. That's a day trip, no problem. So every Friday, Saturday, we'd be able to pop down there in the middle of the summer. I played a lot of sports growing up, so I couldn't do the whole like week-long or summer-long shore house, but definitely Memorial Day weekend. And since I've gotten a little bit older, Seattle, go down, hit the bars.
Okay. Where did you used to go in Seattle?
I love the OD. I don't think there's a better beach bar in the state.
The OD is a great beach bar.
And, I mean,
we used to do the Springfield on Sunday nights. The Grease Band was there. We're from Avalon, we cruise over, walk home.
Yeah, of course. And then you've got AC, too. If you want to take the short drive to Atlantic City, you can pop up there. I mean, there's really so much to do down the shore, and you can get yourself into so much trouble just taking a night or two to go down with some buddies, rent a house, or even if you get a free week over the summer. I miss it so much.
I miss it, man. I miss the beach. I forget about nightlife. Like, that's fun, but I miss the beach. I'm a beach guy.
See, are you a go-in-the-water guy, though?
Only because my daughters do, so I'll go in with them, but not as much as I used to. A quick dip here or there, like if I'll play beach football or volleyball, I used to play in like the throes of summer in August, it would be like 130 degrees on the beach. I'd go in the water and wash up. But I was never, in my adult life, I've gotten away from going in and riding waves and whatnot. I do it with my daughters because they like to do it and I like to hang with them. Other than that, I can forego going into the water.
I got you. I'll get a tan on, I'll hang on the beach and have a couple drinks, but I don't know. I've never really been a big water. I'm not a huge ocean guy.
Okay.
I'm cool with the pool. Right. I like where I can see where my feet are.
See, that's the thing. I don't go in too far. Since Jaws in 75, my grandparents took me to see it at the drive-in in Devon where Kmart is now, or we used to be. I have not been the same.
I'll tell you what it was. I saw that movie too, but I was so young when I first saw it.
Okay.
I think I've got some like deep-seated emotional scarring where it's just like, I'll go in up to like my knees, but anything more than that.
That's it. I'm done. I don't go in. I mean, I do, but I don't like going in the lakes or the bay. You know, I used to go water skiing. If I can't see my feet, I don't know what's down there. I'm not a big fan.
I'm with you. I'll take the pool. But sitting out on the actual sand, throwing a football around and doing something, nothing better.
Oh, there's nothing better. 610-632-0975. So if you're down the shore, if you're heading down the shore, appreciate you tuning us in. Tell me what's going on. What are your plans for Memorial Day weekend? And if you're down the shore, let's see, what's today, Sunday? So you've had two nights down there, maybe three. We used to do the Thursday night of Memorial Day weekend. Where are the hot spots right now? Like, what are we doing at night, people? Besides Wawa on 27th Street in Avalon, always a favorite hotspot of Team Stajak, what are you doing? I know that's open. Just throw a mask on, you're cool. But I think the bars are shut down. But I don't know that's to be factually accurate. I am assuming it. Tell me what's going on at night. 610-632-0975. We've also been talking about Mike Tyson and his attempt at a return to boxing. Give me a player that you believe could come out of retirement after a minimum of 10 years off and still have some success. Gordie Howe came out of retirement and played 1 year with the Whalers in 79-80. He was 52 years old. Mike Tyson's 53. He scored 41 points. He had 15 goals, 26 assists. He played with his sons, Marty and Mark, former Flyer, Hall of Famer. Both Hall of Famers now, obviously Gordy, Mr. Hockey, and his son Mark. 41 points at 52 years old with the Whalers, no less. So I don't know how much success Mike's going to have. Apparently he's in great shape. He could probably still fight a little bit, but, you know, hey, your skills deteriorate. Like when you hit like 32, he's 53. The real deal, Holyfield's now talking about a comeback. And the first thing I thought of was, well, Mike needs money. Tyson needs money. And you can get cashed up, you know, in the Sweet Science. Fight a couple fights this year, next year, and you're all set for a while. He's giving every penny to charity, apparently. Every penny goes to charity to help the homeless, help the addicted. He was homeless at one point. He was an addict at one point. Good for him. God bless him. I know he dabbled in Hollywood with the Hangover 2. He's got the Oriental tattoo on his face. Not a good look, in my opinion, but it is what it is. He had his daughter die in a horrific freak accident where she got her neck tied up in the blinds. So he's had some rough spots. He was convicted of rape. Sentenced to 6 years in prison a while back. He spent three of them in prison. He had some problems with his wife, Givens. What was her first name? I forget her name. Givens. Ah, it escapes me. Very hot. Had some problems with her. Had some problems groping. He used to be like a judge, Miss America contest judge. Oh, Robin Givens. Thank you, Connor. And he would have a problem keeping his hands off the contestants. So he had some issues back in the day. He had some issues. Not a bad guy from what I hear. You know, and we shall see. But Jeff in Camden's going to kick off the show, and he has some things to say about Mike Tyson. What's up, Jeffrey?
How you doing? Good morning.
How are you, bud?
I'm all right. So you remember me, don't you, Joe?
You sound familiar. Yeah, I know you. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, we did the same contest, but we won't talk about that.
That's right. How are you, my friend?
All right. I'm all right.
What's up?
Mike Tyson, man. There's never been another Mike Tyson before. There will probably never be another Mike Tyson. The guys, I mean, the one injury that we know about wasn't real. He just was, you know, he's you know, off his rocker a little bit, and that's because of the life he's had growing up and everything. But he yelled that after he got a knockout, after he just destroyed Clifford ATN. He said, "Man, I broke my back." And that wasn't true. That was the fight where Jay-Z did the concert before. I was over one of my boys' house. We had a big thing there. We saw that live. And I mean, I was a kid when I saw Mike Tyson win the title down the street of my grandmother's house. I saw him knock out Michael Spinks.
Okay.
I saw him defeat, you know, my idol, Larry Holmes, which was a sad, sad day for me, but, you know, it's got to happen. Larry Holmes probably would have won the fight if his arm wouldn't have got tied up in the rope because he started tagging Mike. But, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, right?
Right, sure. Mike was nasty. You were around for Mike's prime?
Oh, yeah. With Customato?
He was
and
a beast.
If you look at his, the way he's training now, you can see footage of his training now. His balance looks great. His cardio is amazing. And he's slimmed down. So he's probably about just a 240-pound wrecking machine that looks unstoppable. If you get hit by one of those shots, it's a wrap. I mean, it's a ball game. And Holyfield is who wants to fight him, who's 5 years older than him at 57.
Yep.
If they let this thing happen, there's going to be blood on their hands, but they're going to let it happen because it's money to be made. They're
going
to let it happen. It's going to be like a charity thing.
Yeah.
And the first time somebody gets hit hard, then it's, you know, it's nothing you can do. They're going to fight.
You're done.
And Mike Tyson is going to fly that head.
Well, what happens to your speed, though, at 53 and 57?
Watch the footage, and you tell me.
Okay.
Just watch the footage. It's terrifying.
Oh, Mike, I'd be terrified. I mean, Believe me, I think Mike still has some game left, I'm sure. I just don't know. Certainly, he wouldn't last against Tyson Fury, but he could probably win some fights.
Mike Tyson lands an overhand right to the fat gut of Tyson Fury. You know, Tyson Fury is a great fighter. But if that right hand, which I've landed myself and got an easy TKO to somebody else's fat gut, you know, no disrespect.
You're a fighter?
It is what it is. I'm a fat guy, too. Two fat guys fighting. It's hard. It's horrifying. Fat flying everywhere and just destructive punches. But, you know, I landed a right hand years, many, many moons ago and scored an easy TKO to the stomach of this guy who eventually actually, you know, got hired at my other job. So, you know, life is an ongoing vicious circle at times. But, yeah, if that happens, it's a wrap. Because nothing is stopping these Mike Tyson shots. Now, you go through that gut, through the solar plexus, and you're going to be looking at your lunch, and the fight will be over.
Well, we shall see. I'm looking forward to it. Jeffrey, I appreciate the call, man. I got to go. I got to take a break. Yeah, I'd watch. Apparently, the footage is amazing. But, again, it's, you know, it's like video is different than the practicality of getting into a ring with an opposing heavyweight fighter in his prime. But yeah, I mean, if you get stung by a Tyson hit, it's still at 53, I'm sure there's going to be problems. He's going to inflict pain. Holyfield at 57, I mean, he's upwards of 60. I remember in 1997, I was in Dewey Beach, and the fight where Tyson bit part of his ear off, I remember that very well. Tyson went a little nuts. He was a little off kilter, had a crazy life, had a lot of money at one point, then went broke, smokes a lot of doobage. I don't know if he does anymore. Apparently he's in phenomenal shape. Jeff said he's 240. I read where he's 230. He's even leaner. But Tyson, people who don't remember Tyson, who've only heard of the name, would have to see like his first 19 fights. When he was 20 years old and became the heavyweight champion of the world, he was, talk about the master of disaster, he was a wrecking machine. Wrecking machine. In his prime, especially at 20 years old, wrecking machine. I thought he would never lose. That's why they talk about greatest upsets of all time, USA beating Russia, Villanova beating Georgetown, or NC State beating the Five Slamma Jamma. And they also throw in Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson. Because at the time, watching Mike, you would think there's no way he could ever lose. Ever. That's why sports is great, because you never know. It was in Japan one night. I was in New York. We didn't have internet at the time, but the word filtered down. I was at a bar in New York with my fraternity brothers. I guess I was in college, and I heard Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas. After he knocked Buster Douglas down, he almost won the fight. Buster Douglas hangs in there long enough and ends up knocking Mike out. I don't know. I still think something's fishy about that fight, but what do I know? 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas behind the glass taking your calls at 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazak. We're coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. This used to be on my playlist when I'd come in. Summertime by the Fresh Prince. Absolute sexy song. Gotta be honest. I used to love this. I still do. It's a great song. Summertime by the Fresh Prince. There are some sexy songs out there. That's one of them. I love it. I don't know what happened. I did get an email from Coach saying he's implementing some new beachy type music. That works. That works for me. We did it last night. It's refreshing. Some of the other bump music that we've had in the past, I've been very vocal about it. It's been horrendous at the risk of ripping my own radio station. And I do not fault anyone for that. Certainly not Coach's fault. I'm sure it comes from higher up or some kind of contract we have with bad music players to implement their music. But good job by Coach Eric Camille. Cranking up the summer tunes, getting us swinging into the 90s. I love it. Love being with you on this Memorial Day weekend. John Clark, unfortunately, was supposed to be on a 10-10. Not feeling well, a little under the weather. He'll be on with me next week. I got Steve Callis coming up at 11-10. We were talking a little bit about Mike Tyson today so far. Coming out of retirement. Will you watch? I'd watch. It's a spectacle. So, of course, I'd watch. And he's not coming back out of shape and, you know, big old guts and dad body. You know, Mike's obviously genetically gifted and looks in fantastic shape. So I think he's going to give some folks some problems. Maybe not Tyson Fury. Maybe Evander Holyfield if they get in the ring again together. But Mike's had some issues. Always liked him. He was a devastating fighter when he broke onto the scene when he was 20 years old. So what was that? That's 33 years ago. What year is it now? It's 1993. Is that right? 33 years ago? Yeah, 33 years ago. So take 30 years off. You're at 1990. So 87. Wow. Devastating. He looked like the greatest thing that had ever happened to boxing at the time. His right-handed cross were so fast, if you blinked, you missed it. 19 straight knockouts to start his career. Youngest world heavyweight champion of all time. And I like boxing. You know, it became a little corrupt. But, I mean, I watched it growing up. Ali was one of my guys. I used to love trash talkers who could back it up. That's why Joe Namath was another one of my guys. Although he wasn't really a trash talker. He kind of pseudo-guaranteed that his Jets would beat the Colts, and they did. I just loved the bravado. I loved Ali. I loved the rope-a-dope. I loved all those big fights. I love his tete-a-tete with Howard Cosell. It was entertaining. Just entertaining. What a shame. What happened to Muhammad Ali and the Parkinson's disease and how that ended up. He was one of my heroes. But I always liked boxing. I like big events. I like big games. I like big fights. So I always enjoyed heavyweight fights. The closest I got to boxing in terms of covering it, well, I used to go to a boxing gym to work out. Loved it. Don't do it anymore. I wish I could get back into it, but I just can't be a member of like five gyms at once at this time. Back in 95, I was at Prism when we were Comcast, before Comcast became Comcast. We covered all the local home team sports, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and did some things with the Eagles. There was an NHL lockout in 94-95, same in the NBA in 95-96. So there were... we obviously had contracts with the teams to air their games, and if they're locking out their teams, there's no games. So we had to find other sporting events to air, so we would, every Friday night, take our production truck down to the Blue Horizon on North Broad Street near Temple for the local scene. And it was really cool. It's a really cool place to watch a boxing event, and I had never seen one before, and now we were actually covering it. I was like supposed to keep punch count. They have like computers to do that nowadays. You cannot do that as a human being. You cannot do a punch count accurately. So I would just make up stuff when they'd come to mind. The producer would come to me and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, 204 to 186. Had no idea. You know, there's like three, four punches being thrown every second. You know, it's like telling someone to go practice catching foul tips. It's impossible. And we were trying to do it manually. I couldn't even, when we did baseball games and I worked, you know, producing baseball games, I would do pitch count. With my ADD, I would screw up that every night, too. I can't believe they kept putting me back on pitch count. You know, to have to watch every pitch and write down ball, strike, strike, ball, ball. It seems pretty easy, not with my attention deficit. I would screw that up left and right. It became 10 times harder trying to do punch count. But it was really cool. It was a really intimate setting. Gene Hart, who used to do the Flyers to supplement his contract, he was asked to do... the play-by-play or blow-by-blow. I was his right-hand man. Someone told me not to wear white. I thought they were kidding. I was ringside. It was my first event next to Gene Hart. I was all psyched. Gene Hart was one of my heroes growing up. I'm working with Gene, watching, you know, a pro handle a different sport and whatnot. I'm doing, like, pseudo punch count and some other things. Ringside. Probably third round. I can't even remember who. There are a lot of local fighters, but one guy takes... He was already about to go down, and he finally takes the coup de grace blow to his face. His mouth guard comes flying out right by my ear, and a mouthful of blood all over my white Oxford shirt and my khaki pants. I thought, again, I was told not to wear white. I thought they were kidding. It was all over me and Gene. I was like, you're kidding, right? You know, I'm thinking, I got HIV, I got to go get tested now. It was a debacle. Never wore white again. In fact, I never wore anything nice again because they're not kidding when they say don't wear white ringside or don't be ringside, period, if you don't want blood and saliva and maybe teeth in your lap. Because that's how close we were and that's how cool the action was. But it was great. Fighting at the Blue Horizon, I don't know if they still do it. It was phenomenal, and because nothing else was going on, it was packed. You can go out to White Castle, which was right across the street, grab yourself a meal, KFC right down the way, grab an eight-piece before the fight. We had a good time doing that, and that's as close as I got to the sweet science. But again, that was back in 1995. We're talking about Mike Tyson, his return to the ring. Also want to get into some Eagles. Are they better or worse than they were pre-draft? Free agents have pretty much dried up, and we are just in a holding pattern, doing virtual OTAs and waiting for training camp to begin, and that's going to be interesting. Again, Troy Vincent came out. He is the EVP of football operations for the National Football League and said yesterday that he expects full stadiums this fall. I think he's out of his mind. Not going to happen. Probably irresponsible to even say that. I know it's nice to have wishful thinking, but no, it's going to be a while before normalcy comes back into the world of sports. I'm Joe Stasiak. I'm here till noon on 97.5. The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Give me a call.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.